Welcome to the Rom-Com Games, a championship where two movies go head-to-head each episode in a battle to decide on the ultimate romantic comedy.
We are your aspiring movie critic hosts, Ruth
and Kristen,
and this is
the Rom-Com Games.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
Hi.
Did you forget? Kristen forgot how to introduce the podcast.
No, I was waiting for you to speak.
Oh, greetings.
And from now on, we have a very exciting addition to our pod. Each week, we are going to introduce a new guest with us. And today, our guest is Amanda.
Yay! Hi.
Thank you for having me. So excited.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, thank you for joining us to talk about romantic comedies. We're so excited to have you here.
Amanda and I, this is Ruth. If you don't recognize our voices by now, like, not even true fans, so should probably get out. Amanda and I met working together at an advertising agency, and we both discussed beautiful topics like Mariah Carey's mental state.
Her subscription to Time, whether she adheres to it or not.
Yeah, she says she doesn't. Interesting topic of conversation.
Is it still all about Mariah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't believe in time. Doesn't subscribe to it at all.
Oh, the concept of time, not Time magazine.
No. Like, the concept of, like, time ticks away. Nope, she don't believe in that.
No.
But also, I heard she cast some major shade on Time magazine. So we had read an article saying that she'd given an interview. Somebody asked her, how do you feel about your career having been so long or something like that? And she said, well, I don't believe in time. And that quote kind of destroyed Amanda's brain.
Yes. On so many levels, like, you don't subscribe to time, meaning like you don't believe I'm being on time, or like you don't subscribe to time in the fact that like you just don't think that time is passing, like you don't age.
So for the rest of the day, every, like, 20 minutes or so, Amanda would just turn around to me and go, okay, but, like, what did she mean?
But I need to know. Like, I really do need to know what she means. Does she, like, think that she's, like, not getting older? Because, like, I could maybe get behind that concept. But at what point does, like, your aging stop? Because, like, 20s and 30s, super solid time to, like, kind of pause and take a beat. But I gotta imagine,
take a beat,
like,
forever.
Yeah, just take a beat forever. But I gotta imagine, like, doing the exact same thing. I mean, actually, you know what? When you're older and you're like 80 and like you have nothing less like left to lose, why not?
True.
Like, 80-year-olds are like the realest people out here. They are just vocalizing their opinions left and right. They do not care about your feelings at all.
It's painful.
Sometimes really enjoyable, like, though. Like, very entertaining to watch from a distance when it's not directed to you.
Over there, yeah.
Yes. Like, I very much enjoy my grandma's, like, wrath when it's not directed at me. 100%.
Oh, yeah, Amanda's grandma. I've heard some high-quality Amanda's grandma quotes. Amanda's considering writing a book about her sayings.
Yes. I mean, I don't know.
Can you share one with us?
Yeah. It's one of the things she likes to say. Well, if a frog had wings, it wouldn't bump its ass on a log. Which, unpacking that.
That's a thing,
unpacking that.
Makes you think.
You really do. So many layers.
Yeah, so many layers to that. So basically what she's saying, like, don't sit here and think about the shoulda, woulda, couldas, because it's not going to help you at all. So instead of saying that,
I don't know if that's what I would have gotten out of that.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had to think. I don't think that's where I was going. Kristen, is that where you were going?
No, I really didn't know where that... So I'm glad that you explained your grandma saying, because otherwise I was like, I would have been literal, be like, but does a frog normally hit its ass? Is that something we need to fix in society?
See? Another great question. Does that even happen? And who has witnessed this? Because I have not met a single soul that watches The Habits of Frogs enough to
frog scientists.
I was gonna say there's scientists out there do stuff.
I'm gonna Google do frogs trip.
maybe it's one of those like age-old questions of like, if a tree falls in a forest, does it make a sound?
Yeah, my grandma's just like super chill. She's like Aristotle over here.
Modern day philosopher. Well, I can't find any information about whether frogs are clumsy or not. But just in case you guys like really want to get up to some shenanigans later, I do see in 2019, psychedelic toad venom was the new trendy hallucinogenic drug.
Excuse? Like, people are just out here licking toads?
Yeah, I don't know if it's what? Injected or licking.
I think it's licking, because I've seen that mentioned in media before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think
seen
like,
some... it mentioned.
I think it was like on like The Simpsons or something dumb like that. But
this is a safe space.
You can tell us. Oh my gosh, you're right. The narcotic has long been ingested by licking the poisonous amphibian's back, but is also now can be consumed as a smokable dust form. I didn't like anything about that phrase.
Ruth is gonna lick. She's not gonna smoke any dust up in here.
Go big or go home. Commitment.
Yeah. If you're gonna have toad venom, don't be like a little bitch.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Is how did people come to the conclusion of like, if you lick this toad, you're going to trip real hard?
That's a great like, question.
Like, without someone out here just like licking toads until like they found like the one that was right?
Yeah. Maybe like back in the day when they used to like hunt and gather and they like killed the toad and then had a really bad trip, I guess, hallucinated. And they're like, oh, we should probably not do that ever again because I almost tried to spear you after dinner. Which really makes for like an awkward family dinner on all accords.
So true. All right, well, stay away from the toad venom.
Amanda, have you considered a career in writing history books? Because I think you would be really good at that.
Agree.
No, I have not.
Writing history books, let me
show you. She looks intrigued,
that
though.
You have not researched at all, that you're just guessing, and you're like, I think this is what happened.
No, but now that you mention it, maybe I need like a career pivot.
Maybe, I think so. If you had immortality, you could do this in 20 years.
Exactly. Wow. See? Wow. Okay. Full circle.
Full circle
right there.
Well, I would be immortal if it meant that I could watch these two movies over and over again. So, Kristen liked that segue very much. Kristen, why don't you take your mom in the spotlight? Tell us about the two movies we're going to be talking about today.
Thank you for finally allowing me some time to shine.
Oh my gosh. I will end you.
Yes. So these two movies, the first one on our list is Crazy Rich Asians, which went up against My Best Friend's Wedding and shockingly beat out against. It was a tough race.
Not a difficult competition.
And that is a story of a couple, Nick and Rachel, who are traveling to Singapore for his best friend's wedding. And she is surprised to learn that he comes from a very wealthy family in Singapore. And then there's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of rumors. And there is a lot of shenanigans, one can say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next movie up on our list is Clueless, which was in our first episode and went up against 10 Things I Hate About You. And for those of you who are not aware of Clueless, it is a retelling of Jane Austen's Emma. And it is about Cher, a high schooler who just likes to meddle, just likes to set people up, get involved in different people's relationships. She thinks it's selfless, but she realizes it's selfish and then works on bettering herself. And in the meantime, has a romance with her former stepbrother, Paul Rudd.
You had to slip that in there, too.
It's a very important plot point.
Very important. Kristen, that was spectacular. You should write movie synopses.
Thank you, I do.
Congratulations on achieving your dream career.
Right now, it's just on my own time, on my own
space. You have like a blog or something?
Just a Word doc. Just for my own personally.
Not ready for the public to see it yet.
No. If anyone asks me, like, have you created a synopsis for X movie, I would be like, oh my god, thank you for asking. I do have
This is, like, really casual, but I do happen to have one in a Word doc saved on my desktop.
Yes, they have to be very specific, but if they ask it correctly, they'll receive.
Yeah. I assume it's not in the cloud, right? Like, it's just saved.
No.
Yeah.
It's password protected on my desktop.
Oh, is password protected? Yeah. That's pretty fancy.
Yeah, and it's labeled as taxes so that people definitely will not go into it.
That's smart.
Yeah.
How sus would it be, though, if you were like, I'm just curious about this person's taxes, and you clicked in, then it was like, password protected. You'd be right. Like, oh, they have something really bad in there.
Or that would definitely need you to teach me what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
They have some sort of secret tax thing going on. Also, Amanda, you sound much better all of a sudden.
Yeah, because I stepped into the new century.
Ooh. New tech?
Yes, new mic. New mic.
Wow, very fancy. Welcome.
Trying to level up over here.
It's working.
This is podcast magic over here.
Yeah, it is. My goodness, our listeners won't know what hit them. Okay, so Crazy Rich Asians and Clueless. Both movies start with the letter C. Does that have significance? Maybe. Is we it a do, conspiracy? Possibly.
We do have an actual theme between these two movies, Ruth.
It's not that they start with C.
You can go that route. That's a stretch.
Okay. Dr. Seuss would be very proud of us.
True.
Yes. Yeah. But the real theme that we all voted on, by we, I mean we the masses, is being part of it. The theme is rich people meddling.
It's a good theme. It's a good theme. I hope one day my life follows that theme.
I was going to say, I know it well.
It's very familiar to me. Totally quite into it. Still working on the rich person part.
Right, the meddling.
The meddling.
Yeah, I can teach a master class. Don't get me wrong.
So we'll just work on acquiring the wealth and then we'll be there.
Yep.
Okay, so should we dive into our categories?
We should. So our first category, as everyone knows, is physical chemistry. And Amanda, as our guest, you get the first vote.
Surprise. I am going to go with Crazy Rich Asians.
First one of
the night.
For physical chemistry, because, you know, they just genuinely look like they care about each other, love each other. Also, having a real tough time kind of like, I don't know, separating the whole stepbrother vibe from Clueless and
ex-stepbrother.
Ex-stepbrother. Okay, well... At some point, they shared some sort of lineage. They were having holidays with each other. So that is a little... That's a gray area for me.
They referred to Cher's father both as dad at some point.
Yes. See, okay. You know, if you listen to the last episode, you know that Chris and I strongly disagreed on this. I don't think it's nearly as creepy as she does. And apparently you do, Amanda. Betrayal. I brought you into this podcast. and I can't take you out because it's too late now. So this is the ultimate betrayal. I honestly think we've talked about this a bit that like in Emma, it's awkward because like Kingsley is supposed to be like, there's not really a modern equivalent of what he is. You know, he's like a neighbor, but like a close family friend. But like in those times, like he was closer and more like a brother growing up. And so I think that that's what they were going for, is they were going for the whole like, she's never seen him as even a potential romantic interest. And then all of a sudden she does. I personally think it wouldn't be a problem at all if he didn't call their dad. That makes it creepy. I agree.
Okay.
That's my argument.
Fun fact, didn't know this was based on a book.
Oh my goodness. She's getting culture.
Yeah, I just don't generally read. I don't know if that's something I should say on a podcast, but yeah, it's a struggle.
So yeah, that's my argument. But you're not convinced. You're going to go with Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes.
Okay.
So wait. We need to step back for a second.
Why?
You said only the fact that they call the dad is the reason why you're against it. Not the fact that they were former step siblings. Nothing about that. Okay.
They were step siblings they weren't specific, but Cher said something along the lines of like, we were barely step siblings. So it sounded like their parents were only married for maybe a few months. They didn't grow up together. If they were like raised together, okay, but they didn't grow up in the same house. They just lived in the same house for a couple months. If Josh didn't view Cher's dad as his dad, they would be, they would meet in a weird way. they would tell people about it, and like the story would be a little awkward, but I don't think it's like creepy. You look so convinced. I think this is, I've swung you all the way around 360 degrees. If you can see her face is just like, whoa, how did you, really convinced me.
Your voice isn't even convincing.
I think it is. What are you, Amanda, you have a thoughtful look on your face.
It's only because in the movie, Cher goes, didn't your mom get remarried? Like, why don't you go bug your new family? And he goes, just because my mom got remarried doesn't mean I have to call him dad.
Yes.
Which means that he refuses to call another man dad because he still calls Cher's dad dad, which leads you to believe that that's his father figure. And
yes, agree. I agree. Siblings. That is too much.
Siblings.
I agree. Yes, we're on the same page about that. I just don't think, I think that's the creepy part. I don't think the fact that, like, I don't know. See, when I say it, it sounds creepy. When I'm like, the fact that their parents were married isn't creepy. When I say that, it sounds creepy. But watching the movie, I don't get icked out. Personally. And that's a personal choice.
I don't know if I want to dive any deeper into the psyche of Ruth on this topic.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that's a good call.
I think that'd be a fun little journey.
You're such a daredevil. you're a risk taker. Okay, well, so I'll just say I've spent all this time arguing for Clueless, but actually I also voted for Crazy Rich Asians. I was very torn.
Okay.
I was very torn because I think that the Cher and Josh kiss at the top of the stairs is like beautiful. I love it. I think it's hot. Amanda has the eyes of a terrified deer right now. And I think they have good chemistry together. I want them to kiss. I'm going like kiss by the end. But Crazy Rich Asians, there's like the scene of them in the hotel when she's all like, ooh, ooh, wow, wow, like checking him out. And that's really cute. And also, like, the two of them are both just hot. So, like, love seeing hot people fall in love. And they do have a sweetness where, like, you actually believe they've been a couple for, like, 2 years or however long. So, yeah, I voted for Crazy Rich Asians in the end.
I agree with everything said between the both of you. I cannot support step-sibling romance. And yeah,
I said a lot of stuff about supporting it.
I meant more that I support both of your votes.
Oh, okay.
More so Amanda's reasoning for her vote.
Sure.
And your reasoning for Crazy Rich Asians. I have a lot of problems with Nick as a boyfriend, and I will get very much into that in
Would you, please?
But I do like their romance better. I think Nick is kind of an idiot when it comes to love. But
for sure.
He also managed to bag, you know, this awesome economics professor at NYU. And they, even though he's problematic in many ways, he is really sweet in terms of, he does genuinely love her, and he is genuinely like affectionate with her. He is just clueless tying them two together, but he is clueless when it comes introducing her to his family and not realizing how that would be a problem.
Yeah,
but that never, even though he's a dummy, I never questioned their love. I questioned his intelligence, but I never questioned their love.
I could see that. I feel like that's more so of his, like, naivete of, like, how the other side lives. Because there's this, like, really great dynamic between them. One, because he's, like low-key, like, insanely rich. Like, out here chartering planes, getting, like, Ming Dynasty gongs for... whatever have you.
Amanda's really caught up on the gong.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
That's the most impressive
I would get one. Trust me.
I have one question for you.
Yes.
Did you pause the movie and then Google search buying your own gong in the first viewing?
No, but I did follow up.
Later.
Okay. And figured out, is it available to add in my Amazon cart, or is this like a special custom order? Like, it's got to be in a crate situation, which is the latter.
It's the crate, right? Yeah. That tracks.
Also, Ming Dynasty gongs are in museums. So there's that whole like fun little layer of theft.
Yeah, now it's kind of like an Ocean's 11 or like what's the one with all women, Ocean's 9 situation.
You know, if we want to, you know, discuss this further, we could take this offline and kind of create some plans.
I think we should do it online, actually, because there's only three of us. So we need like six more women.
I will caveat my like CIA agent. This is not like a full blown up plan. This is just like a hypothetical situation.
Right, right, right. It's like a hypothetical plan.
If this happens in real life, it was not us.
No.
No, no, no. Like, we will be planning it out, every detail live on the podcast, but somebody else then took that idea and did it. It wasn't us.
We're not liable for this.
No, it was other people who looked like us.
It's a copycat.
Copycat. They copied our faces and our actions.
Vocal patterns.
Yeah.
Fingerprints.
Shoe size.
Everything.
How dare they? But also good for them. Yes. Yeah, so ridiculously rich, and I agree, he has, like, rich... I don't even know what you want to call that. Like, hot, rich guy, maybe, like, syndrome? Where he's just, like...
Unicorn syndrome.
A lot of privilege. Yes! Yeah, yeah. Mm. Where all throughout his life, everyone's been like, would you like to have everything you ever wanted? And he's like, oh, okay.
Or he just doesn't see, like, how... For him, that world is very normal to him. Like, having money and, like, what that means and all of the privileges that come along with it. Whereas she comes from this dynamic of a single mother... household where she's had to work for everything she's ever had in her life, and she's had to kind of, like, lack of better words, get it out of the gutter. Like, she is a self-made woman, so bringing her into that fold of this, like, extravagant lifestyle, there's going to be certain things that, like, he hasn't thought about because he's had money, so no one's questioned his motives. And then there's also this dynamic between, like, someone who is, you know, first generation in America versus, like, someone who's very much tied to their, like, I don't know if it's, like, a country of origin or what the proper terminology is, but, like, that's a whole, dynamic that I think they touch on. They don't overly push it, but they definitely address it in the movie, which I actually love.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I didn't even really think about that. The idea that he, like, grew up as one of many people who looked like him, and actually he was, like, in a position of power.
Yep.
And she grew up as a person who didn't look like the people around her, and they didn't, like, understand her and stuff. That's a good point.
Oh, that's interesting. Think about that.
Yeah.
And it's also, I also wanted
to hit him upside the head.
I also saw it as, you remember that episode of 30 Rock when Liz Lemon is dating John Hamm and everything's just handed to him, and he never had to work for anything because he's so good looking?
Yeah.
And then she decided to be the first person to tell him that he was stupid and that he wasn't good at tennis. This could be one of those situations, too, where he's so beautiful that no one wants to tell him anything negative about himself.
And rich.
And rich.
And powerful. Yeah, I agree. So sometimes I really wanted to shake him just because, like, sometimes it turned in, then naivete turned into, like, almost, I felt like a lack of empathy. You know, like, how can you not look at her and realize what she would be feeling right now?
Mm-hmm.
But on the whole, he did the right thing in the end. So
wow, we really got off the rails of physical chemistry.
I was gonna say he had no remorse when he reached over to her plate to eat her food. Nah, I'm sorry, like, I love you, but
that was the
you're rich and you're eating off of my plate and signing into my Netflix. Absolutely not.
I love how, like, she got harassed by his ex-girlfriend, and you're just like, okay, but he, like, ate one of her french fries, so that was the real deal breaker from the start. But in the end, we all came back around.
And I think an honorable mention is, should go out to the proposal in the airplane.
True. Oh,
very good cute. Proposal.
Yeah. And that ending is different than it is in the book. And so I actually liked in the movie that it was kind of like you know, like, his mom, they weren't, like, best friends at the end, but his mom was like, I accept you for...
It was, like, real recognizes real life.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I totally understand what role you play in my son's life, but you also respect where I sit in his life, and then, like, we don't have to be the bestest of friends ever, but, like, we both love Nick, and, like, we need to make lanes for each other.
Yeah. That was cool. Okay, so... We are starting off so smooth, smooth like jazz, smooth like Nutella.
I was about to say Skippy.
Oh, yeah. Peanut butter.
I don't think, is it smooth?
I guess if you buy
it. You can be smooth.
Yeah. Oh. Are you guys on the crunchy or smooth peanut butter train?
Crunchy.
Same.
I am the minority. I could probably go the rest of my life without peanut butter and not miss it.
Wow.
It's not that I don't like it. If it's like in something, I won't be like, ew, peanut butter. But I'll never crave it.
Like even not even like Reese's peanut butter cups or something? Wow. I also happen to know Kristen despises mint. So like
that I do actually hate.
What flavor of candies do you enjoy? You witch.
I got sent home for calling a girl that.
What? What grade?
In the fifth grade.
I'm sorry. I feel like they should have given you extra credit. Like, that's a really inventive.
Nope. I got a note home.
That's an old-timey insult.
Yeah. So in my house... That is a word that, like, I grew up with, so I didn't know it was, like, a bad word. I thought I was just calling somebody, like, a brat. So I was like, I can't remember what she was doing, but I was like, wow, Maggie, you're really being a wench. Or I might have called her a stupid wench. I don't really know. But
it does change it a little bit.
The word wench was in there.
Yeah, that was the real problem.
But that's shout incredible. Out to my SAT verbal score in fifth grade, though. Come on.
Wench.
Congratulations that's- to me.
Yeah. Right?
Well done. Well done.
Okay. Well, let's wench it up onto the next category. The next category is originality and storyline. So, Kristen, why don't you start us off this time?
I, again, voted for Crazy Rich Asians for many reasons, but the main being is that this is kind of the first story of its time. Granted, it is based off a book, but it's still, like, it's, you know, it's an all-Asian cast set in Singapore. And
yeah, the first one since Joy Luck Club, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, this huge production in Hollywood. It just became synonymous for being, you know, this major... Asian production, and it was also, I mean, they've done like the rich girl or the, I guess the poor girl being immersed in the rich society. They've done that storyline before, but it was different in a sense. It was about a wedding, but it wasn't their wedding. And the fact that she was trying to get the approval of the matriarch, that was, in my opinion, very unique. It was not only the mother, but the grandmother. Patriarchs were never really a factor in the approval process. And kind of his upbringing was very unique, besides the fact that he was crazy rich. But, like, you know, how the grandmother raised him and how the mother never really got approval from the grandmother. And it's all about approval from the elders is really what this whole movie is about. It's about romance, but it's really about approval.
Yeah. Totally agree. I voted for Crazy Rich Asians for pretty much all the same reason. Also because, like, it follows a long traditional rom-com or like comedy love story vibes. Like, you can guess the beats of what's gonna happen, but not exactly what's gonna happen. It's new and spicy enough that you couldn't guess that, like you can guess, it's not predictable that like Eleanor and Rachel have a mahjong showdown,
right?
And like, and then he comes to propose to her on the plane, but the whole thing of like her dad still being alive, you know, like there were like unique elements in there, but mostly it's the super cool to see a story about both Asian people and Asian Americans set in Asia.
Yeah.
Where, like, race is actually kind of a part of the story. Like, they think that she's lesser because she's Asian American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree that I voted for Crazy Rich Asian.
Nice.
Especially with it being a fully Asian-led cast. Is definitely groundbreaking. It's a new type of representation that we haven't seen in Hollywood, and I would definitely be remiss to not vocalize and show my support and allyship for the AAPI community, especially with everything going on. Like, love to see representation for all of our, like, persons of color. So just seeing their faces on the screen was a great, like, addition to Hollywood that I think we haven't seen yet. And I also, going back to how you were saying that no one could have guessed that Rachel and Eleanor had this whole mahjong showdown. I also, since I'm not a huge rom-com, like, that's not what I gravitate towards. I love that at the end of the day, at the end of the film, there wasn't this, like, magical, like, I love you, you love me, like we were saying earlier. Like, it truly was a very real storyline that, like, we don't have to love each other, but we respect the role that we play in this person who we mutually loves life.
Yeah, I thought that was an original story that I haven't seen yet in rom-coms, but yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the shout out of support to the AAPI community.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, Clueless was a strong contender in this category as well. It is a very fun storyline. I mean, the whole, you know, there's so many fun bits of Cheryl. Is it Cher or Cheryl?
Cher.
Cheryl. I don't know why I named her Cheryl for a second. You know, like the fact that Cher can't drive, Cher's yeah. like quirky oh best friends, and taking Ty under her wing and deeming her necessary for a makeover, even though at the end it kind of wasn't necessary. It was still fun and I enjoy it, but it's not like a clear cut storyline. It's not like A leads to B leads to C leads to D, whereas it's much more clear and focused in Crazy Rich Asians, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think actually, like, Clueless is incredibly impressive for the way that it adapted Emma. The fact that they changed a lot of it, like, set it in a high school and then made the problems more realistic to high school, changed the names even to be more, like, standard LA stereotypical. You know, like, I think this is probably one of the best. It's, like, really hard to do Jane Austen adaptations for some reason. They all come out cheesy, and this is, like, definitely one of the best of them. So we do have to give props to Clueless, but Crazy Rich Asians just wins out in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all voted the same movie again.
Again. We're amazing. So cool. What's next up?
Next up is character development.
Ooh. So I'll start on this one. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I voted for Clueless.
Ah.
Very passionately. Mostly because I think that Clueless sets up the movie with a very clear, like, here is Cher's problem as a person. You know, here is the thing that she needs to develop about, and then provides her obstacles to that, which is, like, she thinks, you know, her problem is that she's selfish and she's, like, a narcissist, basically. Like, she believes that she's always right. So it sets up obstacles to that, which is, like, okay, do good, but actually the good she's doing is still selfish. And then eventually leads her to lessons that help her, like, grow from that in the end. She doesn't turn into a different person. The change is subtle, but it's, like, the beginning of the movie is, like, here's the problem. And the end of the movie is, like, she is working on the problem, you know, which is spectacular. And I also really, I have to say, like, as a woman, both of these movies do it. But I love the fact that it takes, like, the emotional, even though it's a comedy, it takes, like, the emotional growth of a high school girl fairly seriously. You know, it's not like, oh, her problems don't matter. The movie is like, no, she should become a better person because she has the potential to do it. Whereas in Crazy Rich Asians, Rachel goes on, like, a little journey of having to kind of, like, take her life back and decide what's worth it to her, you know? But she was totally fine. Like, the whole problem was started by Nick. she right? Like, she was
so Nick is the worst.
Nick is the worst. She was living a great life. It's not like she was, like, cowardly at the start and she had to learn to grow and develop through that by the end. Like, it was more just she had to be as brave as she normally is in this really uncomfortable situation that her boyfriend put her in. So, yeah, I voted for Clueless.
And he just did not help in any way. It was his mother. And yeah. And, like, his ex-girlfriend, the scene that drives me up the wall in Crazy Rich Asians is when it's after the bachelorette party and she's, like, upset about the fish, like, the dead fish that was, like, sliced open on her bed from the ex-girlfriend. And he's just like, don't worry about it. It happens.
Oh, so mad.
And then she's just like, clear. I'm sorry. Like, I'm just overreacting. And we're like, no.
No, you're not.
You underreacted.
That happens every time I go on a bachelorette party. I don't know about you.
You got a dead fish?
Yeah.
Are you the only one who gets a dead fish? Or do other people? Is it like a party favor?
You know, I haven't checked quite yet. Okay. But also, like, my boyfriend isn't crazy rich. Mm. Also, I don't have a boyfriend. So, like, I don't know who I'm fooling here.
Have you
if
been
you'd
the
like
one
to submit applications to be Amanda's boyfriend? Please call 1-800-BOYFRIend. What were you saying, Kristen?
I said, have you ever been the one to leave a dead fish on someone's pillow, or just had the pillow, the dead fish on you?
Yeah, like, filleted fish is not really like my vibe. I just really like to, you know, come, enjoy the party, bring positive vibes and bring good energy.
So you bring live fish.
Oh, obviously. Obviously. And they're going to be betta and goldfish.
Of course.
Because I'm not crazy rich. So you're going to get the 25-cent fish at PetSmart.
Yeah.
And it's going to die in like 24 hours anyway. So
it's going to be a fun. It's going to be a fun 24 hours.
Fun fact, my sister, when she graduated college 10 years ago, got a like 10-cent goldfish.
Yeah.
And guess who's still alive today?
No.
He's gotten so big. They kept buying him bigger and bigger fish tanks.
Oh my gosh.
I saw him alive 2 weeks ago. He's still.
Does he have like a 5-foot long fish tank now?
Yeah. That's not amazing. Even, it's not an exaggeration. It is 5 feet long.
Honestly, those like 10 cent fish live peculiarly long. Cause, like I bought my nephew one when he was 8. He's turning 18 and I got him like at least 4 or 5 fish. There's one left. He offed everybody within like the first like 6 months.
Except for this one.
Yes. So he's just been chilling by himself. For the
What's
past
his
like
name?
10 Reddy. They named him Reddy because he stays ready.
That's incredible. Honestly, it sounds like maybe he didn't off the fish, like maybe Reddy offed the other fish.
I feel like he did. No, I mean, like, I think Reddy, like, really did off the other fish, and he's like, no, this is mine.
He's like, I know what kind of life I want, and I'll take it.
Ruth, were you blaming the nephew?
I thought when when Amanda said he offed the other fish in the first couple weeks, I thought you meant your nephew.
No. Reddy the fish off the other fish.
Oh, I was like, guys, what if the fish killed the fish?
Like, there was multiple, like... There was only one other of his species, or his, not species, his,
kind? I don't know.
Breed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was goldfish. All of them were gone in the first 6 months. I was like, oh, awesome.
Good for you, Reddy. Good for you.
Right? Like, out here visualizing, manifesting, and taking.
Manifesting is destiny. That's the part of manifesting. Whenever I try to manifest, it never works. But I forgot about the part where first you manifest, then you murder. To make your dreams come true.
I don't know if that's a lesson we want you to learn.
They don't tell you about that in the book.
Oh, they don't tell you that about vision boards either.
That you have to, like, you make the vision board and then you have to go out and do something about it. Mm. Exhausting. Anyway, what were we talking about?
How Nick is trash.
Oh, true. And fish.
Okay, so that's one vote for Clueless.
Yes.
Amanda, who did you vote for?
I also voted for Clueless, kind of along the same theme as Ruth, just because you see this, like, whole journey that Cher goes on where everything is always about her, even taking Brittany Murphy's character Ty under her wing is, like, about her. And, like, you know, befriending Christian when he first comes on the scene is about, like, fulfilling her needs. But then she slowly but surely, like, and you can see it, and she actually says it, like, understands that, like, you know, the world is, like, about other things besides just Cher. And maybe I should work on myself to become a better person, i.e. that'll make me a happier person, which we're all here for the journey and self-growth.
So true.
And you can just see her become a little bit more mature, even, like, questioning some of the relationships that she has in her life, which even the relationship that she sees with Dion kind of, like, start to evolve over time. Her relationship with Christian evolves over time because I don't think she got the memo at first.
She did not.
He was not checking for her.
No.
She thought they were on the same page.
Although that like whole like character development of Christian was a little cringy.
Oh, good point.
But I'm here for Cher's evolution.
Yeah, well, definitely. I'm sure we'll talk about that when we get to Timelessness. Yeah. But definitely like him being the only gay character was... is like a little bit in 2021. Just because he's not a person.
No,
like, he's not really a person.
He's a caricature.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, Kristen, what do you got?
I also voted for Clueless.
Yay!
And on similar veins, you know, feeling that Rachel, she did grow and she did have development. But she didn't need to. She was just kind of picking up the slack of Nick as dead weight. Like, she... like, she had to be stronger, and she had to stand up for herself against his mother and his ex-girlfriends and their terrible friends, because he wouldn't. And he just, like... Not that he wouldn't, but he just, like, was so dumb and didn't notice.
I mean, but also wouldn't. Like you said earlier, also Kristen, wouldn't. He, like, had opportunities to do it and didn't.
Yeah. So she just kind of had to carry his dead weight. So that's, it's character development, but it was, like, a necessity that the situation called for. She didn't need to do it.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't need it for her own personal, like, self. And then in Cher, I think her development is very interesting and unique, and it's a question of, you know, motivation, if it's selfish versus selfless. And I mean, that's a deep philosophical question that we can get into another time, but you know, special podcast but yeah, that's a hard question of why you're doing something. You know, can, you know, if something is good in the end, can it still be selfish? Which, and or is it bad if it's selfish? Does it always have to be selfless? But her coming to the realization and doing her best to make amends and change her actions to be less selfish, I think, was really commendable as a character.
Yeah, totally agree. And you're also right, that is, like, a huge philosophical question. How cool to have it be asked by, like, a teenage girl, you know? Yeah. As opposed to, like, how do I get men to fall in love with me?
But I also...
Same.
1-800-BOYFRIEND is still open. For either, honestly, for either contender. You can call in about me, but I will not be answering.
For Minneapolis, call Amanda. For DC, call me. For in between, call no one. You have no options.
Call no one. You need to make decisions about your life. yeah, okay.
But sweet, I would sweet, like sweet. To discuss real quick the side characters in Crazy Rich Asians, because they were the heart of this movie, in my opinion.
It's true.
Awkwafina. I don't remember her character's name. She was the best.
So good.
Her family. Hilarious.
Amazing.
The dad. The creepy brother.
Oh, so creepy. Like, how does that happen?
How do he get so creepy?
And he's just, like, lingering in the background, always breathing heavily.
Yeah, Rachel's mom, even, like, Eddie and the terrible cousins. You're right, all the side characters were, like, you weren't like, wait, who's who again? Like, everybody had a very distinct personality.
And Astrid, who is an actual good person.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know will say about Awkwafina, I'm not a part of the AAPI community or the Black community, so I don't feel comfortable, like, giving a consensus on this, but I did read some people thought that Awkwafina, like, treaded the line, and now I know she has in her past career on, like, using AAVE. Like, people were conflicted about it. Some Black authors and editorials were like, no, it's fine because it like was an authentic part of the character, and some were like, ew.
I could see both sides of the coin, just being African American myself.
Ooh.
A melanated individual. I could see, but also I think it's authentic to who Awkwafina is as an individual, like, in her life. She's, you know, from, I think she's from Queens, and she even has her TV show called Nora from Queens, so it's authentic to me. Now, if she would have been, like, from Connecticut or something like that, you know, rocking, like, yeah, sis, like, then that would have been, like, a little, like, unauthentic. But I think it was kind of a nod to, like, she is very much those individuals from Singapore who have come to America and kind of just, like, fully embrace, like, American culture. And I think that's, like, their nod to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that she went, like, overly aggressive across the line by any means. Like, I loved it. And, like, for me, there's one line that she has that, like, absolutely makes this entire movie for me. So I'm here for it.
What's the line?
The lines where she's like, she's giving Rachel a pep talk of like, nope, go get your man, sis. Like, you got this. Like, you are a boss. And she's like, bok, bok, bitch. And I'm like, yes, bok, bok, bitch. Every ass, like, all facet day. Of life, all day. Bok, bok.
It's relevant to every situation.
My favorite Awkwafina moment is when she drops Rachel off at that party and Nick's like, oh, come in. And she's like, no. Okay, I come. And goes to that trunk and has like, she's choosing between her like hangover outfit, like the club outfit. There's like another one. I can't remember.
I know that scene went from, which is one of the reasons why her character is so great. I think that scene went from like so relatable to so unrelatable so quickly that she was like, absolutely. I would be like, no, you don't have to. And then if they offered one more time, I'd be like, great. Yeah, I will be coming into your mansion for your free party. But then she opened up her trunk and had like $1,000 dresses lying in there. And I was like, oh, okay.
Super chill. Like,
we're different.
Dior, Chanel, couture.
We're different. I can maybe open up my trunk and be like, oh, a pair of socks. That's about it. Now that we have all of the world's problems sorted out, we can move on to the next category.
Very interesting segue, because this one is social awareness.
Ooh.
And timelessness. And or timelessness. Uh-huh, uh-huh,
uh-huh. Whose turn? Amanda, I think it's your turn to start.
Okay, well, I'm going to vote for Crazy Rich Asians, just because, again, shout out to the all-Asian lead cast.
So good.
Something that we've been sorely overdue in Hollywood, just even seeing people of color as a full cast and leading a movie or a major film project. But also, I enjoy that the storyline between Nick and Rachel is something that we can all, maybe not all, that's a generalization. We can relate to
1-800-BOYFRIEND.
Yeah, I was like, I've never had a man like board a plane to stop me from going home and then propose to me, and then after that rented out an entire rooftop in the middle of Singapore.
Okay, well, same.
After so, this like, though,
what the hell, Chris?
I mean, hey, shout out. I got an Instagram.
And you know, maybe once you finish or want to take a break from your history books, you could then work on your autobiography. And then could have some of the elements that you would like. So someone could stop a plane. You'd be in first class, of course.
Oh, you're making it up in the scenario. Okay, yeah. I understand.
Yeah, so would this autobiography be along the same lines where I get to make up my own history? Mm-hmm. So I just add in like fun facts.
Yeah. We're going to say it's going to be up to your interpretation. So we don't want to say makeup.
Okay, right.
Okay. Great. Social awareness. Crazy Rich Asians. Yes, completely agree. I also voted for Crazy Rich Asians. The only disclaimer that I had was, once again, another topic I'm not qualified to speak on. Lots of very smart people have written pieces about it, so go look at it. But I do know there was some backlash when the initial casting came out, because even for an all Asian cast, it's like a very light skinned Asian cast, okay. So that I would say, like, if you're curious, go read some articles on that, because most of the people who wrote it were like, we're still excited about the movie and still love the movie. This is just an annoying trend in Hollywood. So go check that out. But besides that, so cool. And also so cool that there were parts of the movie that I, as a white person, didn't understand. Like, they didn't even explain the rules of Mahjong or anything. They were just like, we're doing it. There were like cultural things like food that they didn't explain what it was. And they were clearly like little Easter nuggets for people who were actually in the culture, you know? I thought that was super cool.
Yeah, I also voted for Crazy Rich Asians. And one thing that I found interesting, besides everything that we've already talked about, was that even though this was, you know, a family in power, one of the richest families, if not the richest in Singapore, and clearly they were like crazy respected and like had all this power and influence, but they still experienced their own versions of racism. And they had racist tendencies towards Rachel, or had racist opinions towards Rachel because she was Asian American and not, you know, born in Asia. And then, you know, even at the beginning of the movie, when they're in London and they're trying to check into the hotel and the hotel manager won't let them in. And then it's revealed that she is now the new owner of the hotel. Like, it's just showing that, you know, while they are in this crazy high position in life, they're still experiencing real problems, which I thought was a really interesting take that the movie had.
And I love her comeback to him, to the manager who wouldn't even address her.
Yeah.
Where the outgoing owner came down and greeted her, kissed her on both cheeks, and was like, oh, this is the new owner. And she just looked at him and was like, my bags are over there.
I know, that was so good. Okay, so once again, we're all on the same page. Have we voted the same every time so far?
We have. Are we going to go 5 for 5?
Least contentious episode ever. I hope so.
Or is someone going to go rogue?
Oh.
In our last category,
is she planning on going rogue?
Rewatchability.
She's plotting. Oh. Rewatchability. This one's tough because I have rewatched both of these movies and will rewatch them again. Amanda looked like maybe she will not be watching one of these movies again.
Oh, no. I will not be watching Clueless again. No! I'm sorry. Shout out to a classic. Like, yes, I used to want that, like, closet.
Yeah.
For sure.
Of course.
Oh, and the computer where she just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Am I going to take the time to log my clothes? Absolutely not. So we're going to have to figure that whole, that obstacle out. But I don't know. I think I just really enjoyed the refreshing take that Crazy Rich Asian brought to the table. So... I don't know. For me, Clueless, love the nostalgia, love the space that it played within, like, my own development into adulthood, but I don't really need to revisit it.
Well, I don't agree. I mean, I see what you're saying, but I voted for Clueless.
Explain yourself.
I'm sorry. I was very conflicted because, like I said, I will watch Crazy Rich Asians. I'm probably going to rewatch it tomorrow. It's such a fun movie. I also do love, between these two movies, they're both similar in that they're like mostly about the main character and then also love happens. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you, Amanda, that like Crazy Rich Asians is a little more palatable to people who aren't obsessed with rom-coms. But Clueless, I'm sorry, I just think the script is so smart. It's so funny. Like, it's one of those scripts where every line is in the place it should be. It has so many like iconic quotes, like the as if, and so many like things that are now part of our lexicon that came from that movie. I think Alicia Silverstone looks and acts amazing. Yeah, I love Clueless, so I voted for Clueless.
I will disagree.
No! How could I not see this coming?
I do say, I love you, Paul Rudd. If you're listening, I love your other movies. But not Clueless.
If you're listening, 1-800-BOYFRIEND is still open.
But he doesn't live in Minneapolis or DC, so like, what are we going to do?
True.
Yes. All this to say, I voted for Crazy Rich Asians.
Womp womp. Let's talk about Clueless.
I wanted Paul Rudd to know that I still like him.
Okay.
Paul Rudd out there.
I'm sure he's listening.
We're still fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no. Crazy Rich Asians, I think, is just so fun. It's, like, obviously a world that we most likely will never enter. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Likely. Unlikely that we will. Except for Amanda. After 1-800-BOYFRIEND is a huge success.
She's already making plans.
It just looks so fun. It looks crazy, for lack of a better word. Versus in Clueless, I don't enjoy the romance.
Like it.
And Cliff Notes version.
Ruth and I fought about this last episode. I hate the ending kiss scene. I fast forward every time. It is
the
too
tongue.
Cringy.
Ugh. I'm here for it. Ooh, like a
not a tongue.
Damn snake. But in a sexy way.
Kristen does not look happy.
Is it? Ruth, thank you so much for being a part of the rom-com games. You are no longer welcome in this space.
Honestly,
Amanda, you have been promoted.
I get that.
Oh, yay!
Honestly, I get that. I feel that because as soon as I said it, I regretted it. So I appreciate that. And thanks for the good times and the bad times, including right now.
Yeah. I think we're also going to have to cancel this friendship subscription, too. So we might as well just have a clean break.
Sense. You really like that, like, closing kiss scene between
like
step brother and stepsister?
I love it. Okay.
All right. That's a choice.
They aren't step. Ooh. I can't keep having this argument with you guys. I can't keep talking about
it. They're ex-step siblings.
They're ex.
So they already are exes, and they're trying to make this work in a different facet, is what you're telling me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that brings us to a close, does it not?
It does. Do you guys think you know
who, is the winner?
Who the winner is?
I think I know.
Well, it depends on who you ask. I have a feeling Ruth might have a different opinion. than literally everyone else that saw this relationship transpire.
Hey, I voted for Crazy Rich Asians more often than Clueless.
That's right, that's right.
The winner is not Clueless.
Oh,
it is Crazy Rich Asians.
All right. That felt personal. You didn't have to address it. Woo, way to go, Crazy Rich Asians.
I'm sorry to say.
Oh my gosh.
I'm available. This is Amanda talking.
You know the number by now.
One more time. One more time, hype man.
1-800-BOYFRIENDS, Minneapolis extension. I saw Henry Golding is going to be in a new action movie. Are you excited?
Yes.
Amanda loves a good action movie.
I love an action movie. He is going to be the new G.I. Joe Snake Eyes.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. There is a certain action movie that you have watched upwards of 5 times in the last couple weeks. Which movie is that?
Mortal Kombat. Shout out to Louis Tan. I am definitely available. Actively taking applications.
Louis Tan, you get your own number. Yes. You call 100 nope, Louis don't Tan.
Don't even dial that number. Slide into them DMs. Slide.
You don't have to go through the vetting process. It's okay, no. Louis Tan.
Expedited. Certified pre-approved.
Okay, so the last thing we have to accomplish is going through bonus categories. So mm-hmm. Normally Kristen and I share them, but this time putting the spotlight on you, Amanda. What bonus category do you have?
All the work. Gosh,
thank you. So my bonus category, because this is something that's very central in both Clueless and Crazy Rich Asians, is who would win the category for best fashion or costume design.
That's such a tricky one, because Crazy Rich Asians, in terms of like the extravagance,
yeah,
obviously, like they're both rich, but Crazy Rich Asians is like a trillionaire level of rich. But Clueless, like costume design, I think the costumes, like the clothes are iconic. They're coming back into fashion right now. I see so many girls wearing like the cropped sweaters with the fur on the collar and the wrists. And they fit the characters so well.
Very true.
But I guess I'll probably go with Crazy Rich Asians because the dresses are just too beautiful.
And, like, you can't afford that. So if, like, someone could just hand that to you because you voted for it.
She came for you.
She's like, and everyone knows you can never even look at one of those dresses. But it is true. It is true.
I have to agree. Also because the Clueless costumes are great for the film. But that's what they are now, is costumes. Like, if you see, like, the all... like the plaid skirt with the plaid yellow jacket. Like, that's just a Cher costume. It's not
good,
like
point.
Something I'd wear.
Sure.
Myself.
Some people on Instagram would. But we're not. None of us are on Instagram in the way
we
that
are.
Some people are.
We're not influencers.
Do we all have private profiles, though?
We sure do. But don't let that stop you, Louis.
That's who's going to find you. Dude, slide into your DMs.
What about you, Amanda? What'd you vote for?
I voted for Crazy Rich Asians just because the fashion is impeccable. Even like the funny fashion of like Awkwafina's character is still like immaculate. Like,
it is.
Her tracksuit, love it.
Would wear.
Drop a bag for it. Like, yeah. I love it.
Would you wear the mom's tracksuits though?
Probably not the mom's.
That was too much.
It's a lot. It's like very reminiscent of like the Juicy days, and like I kind of would like to leave that tracksuit, right where we left it. No tea, no shade to anybody if that's like your jam.
No,
it's just not my jam. I don't want Juicy written on across my butt. Like, we're actively avoiding that.
I think that's a very fair, request.
Agree. To not have Juicy written across your butt. Listen, if that's all you're asking for out of life, you deserve it.
We can't get you Lewis, but we can get you a tracksuit that doesn't have Juicy on the butt.
Hey, sometimes you gotta settle.
Small wins,
right?
Someday you're gonna be walking around like LA or something, and you're gonna be wearing your tracksuit that doesn't have Juicy on the butt, and Lewis Tan is gonna see you and be like, wow, that girl's tracksuit doesn't say Juicy on the butt. Like, she seems like someone I need to get to know.
Is she from the Rom-Com Games podcast?
Wow.
Full circle.
And then it all connects for him. All right. Well, Amanda, that was a spectacular bonus category. Thank you. Were a great guest today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you top for having five, me. Super
for
honored.
Sure.
Yay. Yeah, top five guests.
For wait, sure. How many guests have there been? Yes. So you're saying there's a chance.
Just got to add a sixth one in and you're moving up, baby. No, it was spectacular. So wonderful to have you on. And thank you so much to everyone who was listening. We appreciate you guys being here with us. Please stick with us. We're moving deeper and deeper into the final eight.
As we said before, math and science were and continue to be our strong suits.
That's accurate. So please do subscribe, follow on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram if you want to see that sweet picture of Amanda's face. We look forward to seeing you next time.